Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. Hello, and welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is Todd Perry. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the podcast. Today, we're joined by another fantastic PPM expert, Mr. Zia Tamami out of our Baton Rouge office. Zia, good morning to you. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you? What a wonderful time to be with you and do the brainstorming on this technical session.
So excited about it. And I want to tell our audience a little bit about you. Zia, among many other degrees and training, has a master's in geohydrology from LSU and works in many, many medias. Zia, you could literally call him a godfather in the environmental industry because he's been practicing it since the mid-80s. So Zia brings a wealth of knowledge, many, many experiences. But today, we're going to specifically talk about some of the challenges at landfills, some of the things that they encounter. And we could not have a better person to visit with. So Zia, with that ado, are you ready to get going?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. So I think when people think about landfills and they encounter them or they get close to them, a lot of people start thinking about maybe some of the odors that come out of them. That's a real common problem. Give us a little background on how that occurs and what can be done as controls to mitigate odors at landfills.
Well, especially this is more pronounced in MSW or municipal solid waste landfill, although the industrial landfills has their issues too. And the thing is a sort of a more technical issues than sometimes the landfill managers, they think this is more cosmetic to come in. Spray some maybe perfume type, odor control. But really the problem is the leachates that comes out of the landfill. The leachates needs to be basically controlled and pumped down to at least 12 inches below grade in the sumps. And you got to have a good force main or a good sort of a conduit to get it to the sumps in order to pump it out. So daily cover is going to play major sort of a role in reducing that. Two is also the issue of controlling what we call contact water. So that's that rain that falls inside the cell where the waste is. So that needs to be controlled. And these issues especially is more sort of a critical in the older landfills. So as you recall, one of them in Southeast Louisiana that we tackled a few years back ended up being a major issue that impacted a lot of residential area. So we have to get in, redesign the force main, come up with better technology as far as the pump stations in order to pump it out and send it to a PFTW for the treatment.
That's such a, we tend to forget because out of sight, out of mind, right?
Exactly.
I create some waste and it goes into a, municipal landfill. And I guess we kind of maybe, falsely assume it disappears. It does not disappear. It all collects in a place and it becomes a big mass. And there are a lot of things, as you mentioned, just not to make a pun, but cover the surface with surface cover, but really scratch it. But it becomes a real science to operate that. Now, you mentioned as water comes in contact for rainfall or you can have natural occurring groundwater at the site, that creates some challenges with leachates. So how are those addressed at landfills?
Well, one thing is the leachate wells and the leachate collection systems, you have to basically monitor those and make sure that, you don't over sort of flow the material, the leachate, which ended up going into the gas collection system and gas wells. So you cannot recover methane. So this becomes a major headache, becomes the leachate issues seeping into the gas collection and gas recovery wells. So those are the issues that need to be, and especially, in Southeast Louisiana with groundwater being so shallow, And most of the time, the bottom of the cell is in contact or not too far from the groundwater. And those are the issues that needs to be, especially when you design with the leachate collection system, with your pumping system, and also how to slope these sumps in order to facilitate collection of the leachates.
Now, Zia, would it be correct to say, as you describe this process, if I get a permit to install and maintain a landfill, landfills are built by cells, and as they grow, you have more cells. What kind of permitting takes place? In other words, if you were to lay out a monitoring plan, how's that done with landfills?
Well, first, as part of the design, especially in the Subtitle D since 1994 when it came on, it recovers a really practical design. So if you have the slope issues, you got to be 3-to-1 slopes. I've seen slopes 2-to-1, and believe it or not, I've seen one in Mississippi 1-to-1, which is absolutely crazy. So basically, the design should be simple to install when you're installing the all the liner system and leachate collection and all that. And that's going to be going through the engineering review and technical review by the agency. And a lot of the times they come back and they ask you to give a few adjustments to your design criteria. And during the installation, that's going to be very important, because sometimes you have to have a flexible pipes in order that as you go up vertically, and the overburden of the waste and the daily cover won't crush these pipes. So those are going to be very sort of innovative, very delicate, approach. But the agencies usually they review that, and during the construction, they provide spot check. And of course, we bring our own third party CQA during the construction for the quality assurance.
Well, and that's right. So, you think about it, and you've got, you pass by a landfill, you see it may look like just kind of a mini mountain or just a giant hill out there. There are a lot of engineering controls that take place just to make sure that that landfill stays contained and stays where it needs to be. Now, when we think about landfills, and I'm going to oversimplify this, Zia, so I want you to help straighten me out on this and give us a little bit of depth for our listeners. I think about construction debris landfills, and those are probably the easiest landfills to permit.
Correct.
And then you go into municipal, municipal waste landfills, and they become a little bit more difficult because they take a lot of household waste, by municipal, by design. Then you go into, would it be a class 2 industrial type landfill? Would that be
correct? Mm-hmm.
And then the most complicated type landfill to permit and maintain would be a hazardous waste landfill,
which is Subtitle C, correct?
And so thinking about that, so let's go back to the begin. The most basic landfill, a C&D landfill. I would think that's a pretty easy landfill to permit. But what kind of, are there any kind of changes? What's required regulatorily to get a permit to build, construct a C&D landfill?
C&D landfill, as you said, Todd, it was very simple. It's almost like excavate. If you have a good clay, build your levees and start operating. Now it's getting a little bit more complicated, especially with these massive storms that we get. And people that are just dumping not only the inert material, but some of the drywall stuff. And drywall gets wet and creates, gases. And so now some of the states, including, in Texas, they start requiring monitoring wells. And very soon, no doubt in my mind that within the next 5 to 6 years, they're going to require better sort of a liner system than just a natural clay system. So right now they're saying that if you encounter sand in the subsurface, remove that and backfill with the natural clay 10 to the minus 7 centimeter per second. But I can see this going to the next level, that monitoring wells will require and some form of either synthetic or just combination of clay and synthetic liner.
Gotcha. So it's going to become a little bit more complex, and some of the engineering controls that other landfills use to protect and monitor, those will be coming to C&D soon. And it, would that be kind of a state-by-state requirement, or is that a federal?
I think it's going to be a state by state, and I think you know, Louisiana, as you know, is very proactive, and we take it for granted, and we go to some other states and realize how detailed Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality Solid Waste Division's regulations are, as far as you know, making sure that you have a good base liner system. So it's going to be state by state, but eventually a guideline is going to come as a big picture of what are the requirements in order to be in compliance.
Absolutely. And so, you know, Zia, you've touched on, we talked about monitoring wells. We talked about, you know, surface water, rainwater, and groundwater coming up, gas recovery wells. Those are some of the engineering controls that are put around to monitor to make sure the landfill is not leaching outside the area, you know, of the landfill. But there's an awful lot of it. There's an awful lot of other infrastructure too at the landfill. And I, you know, you just don't think about it until you really talk about it, but you know, access roads, that's something that you've got to keep up. And so you can get around and move around. Any tricks to the trade on watching out for your access roads and levee systems?
Absolutely. Because you realize that some of the landfills, they have their own borer pits on site to excavate the clay for the daily cover or any other construction. So not having a good access road becomes cumbersome as far as the handling and transporting some of the construction material. But at the same time, the levee system, it's very critical, and how you connect them to make sure the operational sort of a daily operation is easy and cost effective. Because a lot of the times you'd be surprised the operation of the landfill by doing the audit, and we can do that, we've done it at PPM, by just going and watching the daily operation, how we can really fine tune and make it more cost effective. So access roads, levee system, fire water pond. At one of the landfills recently, they had fire. It cost two events. Each event cost them $600,000. Not only take care of the fire, but all the foam and all the contact water that came had to go offsite for disposal. For two events, $1.2 million. And guess what? The facility didn't have the fire water pond. So those right. are the strategic master plan, which I highly recommend. And it's never too late. Every landfill can do better as far as effective operations by having a master plan. A master plan addresses these sedimentation pond, fire water pond, leachate and gas collection system, access roads, levee roads, and then terraces in order to reduce erosion.
That is really cool. Because again, Zia, we just don't think about it. We have a waste stream. It's picked up. It's transported off. It does not magically disappear. It goes to a place where it gets mixed with a lot of other waste streams, and you've got to, you know, it's got to be protected. It's got to be contained. And there's a lot of work in to contain that. Zia, this has been absolutely fantastic. So one last question for you. As we think about landfills, if someone wanted to learn more about landfills, you know, our listening audience said, like, you know, they could obviously reach out and contact us, but are the landfills have any kind of trade associations they associate with, where if someone's interested, they can learn more about what landfills exist?
Right. You know, this is both on the national and the local. The SWANA, I think, is doing a very good job in their annual training for the operators, and all the conferences that they come up with very nice sort of a variety of the topics. And here, as you know, in Louisiana, we have it once a year at Superdome, at the Cajun Dome in Lafayette. So that's coming up in March, and I think that's the area where, whether you're, you know, heavily involved or you're just basically having a small role in the operating or supervising the landfill, I think it's great to come and get your training, continue educations, and then also tackling both the compliance, engineering, and operation size of the landfill. So SWANA, I think, will be a great source.
Zia, that's awesome. And you are truly an expert in this area of practice, environmental area of practice. It has been so fun to visit with you. I look forward to doing more podcasts with you. If anyone has any other questions or would like to reach out, visit with us on landfills, reach out to Zia. You can always reach out to us via our website. Go to our ppmco.com and go to our contact us tab, and you can email us, send us a note, and we'll get right back to you. Zia, thank you for making time for us today. It's been great to visit with you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And to our audience, thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And this is Todd Perry saying we'll see you next time on PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.